G'day. We're just going to continue with the Hearing from God series on, you know, how to hear from God. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And God can use prophets, prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge to speak to his people as well. But the trouble is with prophecy and words of knowledge, there's usually a man or a woman in between you and God. It's so much better to find God for yourself, to read the word, to pray, to fast, to seek him and hearing for yourself. Prophecy, words of knowledge, the most popular way in the church to hear from God. But when we get lazy and we don't fast, we don't pray, we don't read the word, and then we run into all these men to say, give me direction, give me, you know, instruction, give me what I'm looking for, encouragement. You know, you're putting man in between you and God. It says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This, I'm just going to talk about the gift of prophecy, the office of a prophet, and, you know, words of knowledge as a gift. But I won't be talking about that for long. It'll be mainly the false prophecy, the false prophets, because, you know, the church is so torn apart by false prophecy. They've been lulled to sleep. They're, you know, getting their ears tickled and they love it more. Just have a look at that. But first we'll talk about the truth, the true prophets, true prophecy, or the office and the gifts. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's the office of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastors, teachers. There to look over the church, to instruct us, to guide us, you know, to keep us from straying off the path. Here's another scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 to confirm that. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So that's the order. First the apostles, then the prophets. Prophecy is like to guide the church, to instruct the church, where the apostles are the top of the hierarchy. And here's another bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the gift of prophecy that works in people. It's not the office of a prophet. It's a gift of prophecy that the Holy Spirit will manifest at certain times to speak to his people through, could be you, through anyone he chooses to give the gift at the time that he gives it. So he'll use you as a tool to deliver a word, whether it's word of knowledge, prophecy, you know, we'll quicken you to speak it out. It says out of our belly will flow rivers of living water, and, you know, God can use us to speak. He can use anyone to speak. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works, that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. There's people that have got a certain gift and they operate in that a lot. And God can give other gifts to people. He might use you once every couple of years to do a miracle, or he might give you a gift of faith to get something done, or a word of knowledge, or a prophecy, you know, or tongues. It depends on him. It's up to him what he does with it, you know. This is probably a word of knowledge by Jesus in John chapter 1. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and says unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus, he said, you know, just because I seen you under the tree, he didn't treat it as a big thing. It was God who showed him, and God will do the same thing. The trouble is that people are getting words and knowledge, and they're blowing it out of all proportion. They're calling themselves prophets. They're looking for a celebrity status in the church, and they're making big deals of things, you know, and that's where false prophecy can come in and take a foothold in the person's life who's delivering the word and the person's life who's hearing the word. So we'll get into that a bit later. Here's another a famous word or prophecy that Jesus spoke to Peter. Matthew 26, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And we know what happened. He went on and denied him, and, you know, it came true within a matter of, you know, not very long, the same night. You know, God can deliver prophecy through people to, you know, speak of the future, to warn us, to give instruction, whatever he wants to do, words of knowledge. You know, he can chastise us too through man, where the church has lost that. They believe that prophecy and words of knowledge should only be to bless people, to pick them up, to build them up, and that's an excellent thing to do with it. But it's used to chastise too, you know. It's used to uncover the hidden things of darkness so people can stay on the track. They can look at their own motives and check themselves out and say, yeah, that's wrong. I've got to change that. I've got to work on that. Here's another few scriptures about prophecy. In Acts 21, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. So that was a warning. The man had daughters who could prophesy, but then the man came with the office of a prophet and spoke to Paul and said, this is what's going to happen, with a warning. And it did happen. You know the story. He got into a lot of strife and got chucked in jail. So you see, the words of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, you know, telling the future, or, you know, warning, whatever. God can use you. He can use me. He can use anyone he likes to speak when the time is needed. So it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 says, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we got to test all things, because there's so many false ones. I was dealing with a young fella from Africa. This young lad was reading his Bible constantly. He was fasting. He'd done about 4 or 5 40-day fasts. He was healing the blind, the deaf, the lame, raising the dead and stuff. And he had the gift. God would give him visions and dreams at night, and through those dreams he could prophesy. You know, he was he could give you warning, give you direction. You know, it was like I seen it operate when we went to Africa. You'd be sitting next to him and you'd think he's asleep, but he's having a vision, and he'd wake up and he'd say, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, because, you know, this woman's got this happening in her life, and the kids are doing this or whatever. And other times he'd say, look, there's going to be a bloke come with a red shirt on, and, you know, he's going to cause trouble, or stuff like this, and we've seen it firsthand. And but even before we seen this, before when I was getting to know him over the internet, emailing him before we went to Africa, I got a daughter, and I was having trouble with my daughter. I never told him our daughter existed or my daughter existed. And anyway, he's wrote an email and said, "Look, I just seen a vision. You've got a daughter. She's about 25, and God's saying give her a bit more of a go. You know, don't get angry with her." And it was words like that that really sort of encouraged me to just seek God more, seek him from my own direction from him. This happened a fair few years ago now, but it encouraged me and showed me that God's still working. He's working in the church. He's working through his people. And there are people out there that do speak the truth. God's working through them all the time. He had lots of dreams and visions. There was one time when I was in like a witchcraft cult, the Rosicrucians, and I exposed them, and they weren't very happy with me. And they come that one night to collect the debt of the oath that I'd spoken. And anyway, my friend Eric from Africa, he wrote the night before, he'd already seen the vision, and he wrote the night before, but I never read it the night before. And I come, you know, I woke up in the morning after the dream. They come in the night, give me a hard time, you know, through their astral travel, soul travel. They tried to put fear on me. They tried to fulfill the oath of cutting me throat from ear to ear, which they did in the spirit. But anyway, God sorted it out that night. It was a massive attack, the worst thing that's happened to me since I became a Christian, but then the best thing, that he totally trampled them, totally crushed them. I won't go into what happened, but it was absolutely massive and excellent. And anyway, the next day I read my email, and Eric, it said, "Look out, there's two men speeding in a car, and they're coming to get you." You know, God would even, but he'd speak to Eric symbolically, but I knew straight away. Eric had tried to warn me, but I never got the warn until the next day. But things like that were happening constantly. When we were in Africa, we were in Eric's church, and, you know, the worship team was up there. The worship team consisted of like 6 or 8, sometimes 10 women, you know, a couple of blokes, or whoever wanted to get up there, and one bongo drum. That's all they had, is the musical instruments, but they were into it, singing and clapping and dancing as they do. Stopped everything. Said, "Stop, stop, stop. I just, someone in here is still fornicating. Someone in your worship, in the worship team, still fornicating. Who is it? You know, this is not right. This is not good. I don't want you to be involved in the worship if you're still fornicating. It's not the right thing to do. And you know, you'll just weaken the strength of the Holy Ghost amongst us." And anyway, we waited like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and there he's showing, "Come on, I know someone's doing it. Who is it?" And one girl she's looking down like this, she put her hand up and said, "Yeah, it's me." And he said, "Well, get in. You know you shouldn't be doing it. You know, you can't, this is not the right way to go. So, you know, you're not going to be in the worship team, you need to repent." Anyway, she never come back to church. She went and never come back. She was revealed. It's like when there was sin in the camp back in the Old Testament, and the people weren't as strong as they could be because of that sin, and they got a flogging from someone that they shouldn't have, because of the sin in the camp. How much do we absolutely need that in the church? If that gift operating in the normal, and no one was surprised, no one, you know, it's not a big thing that they make it over here. You know, Eric wasn't using it to glorify himself. He was using it to build up the church, to remove the trouble and the strife that the open doors were bringing into the church, to that are watering down the truth. And, you know, it just was normal. And when you see that normal, when you see the gifts operate like that, and you come back here to the West and you see how they're so watered down, so weak and flimsy, you know, you just shake your head and think how desperately we need them in the church, to clean up the church. Before I was saved, I had a divination spirit. I made a DVD or a video on YouTube of how divination works. Check that out. I got the divination spirit through, I used to do a lot of water witching or dowsing, and then I got into the Rosicrucians, and it really got, you know, enhanced, and I was into psychics, tarot, palmistry, astrology, psychometry, which is holding up objects and figuring out where they'd been and stuff, and plus I was starting to tell what a person was thinking. That's how the spirit was starting to operate in me life, manifest in me life, and which is, you know, it's no good. It's all demonic. It's worthless. It's worth nothing, you know. And if you seek these things out, you're gonna be fed demonic seed. The seed's gonna grow, and you're gonna have trouble uprooting it. You're gonna take in so much deception and delusion that it's gonna lead you down the false path, and it's gonna be stuck with you for your life, your whole life, if you don't get washed in the blood, born again, saved, delivered, healed, you know, and to renew your mind. There was a woman that I knew. She got this prophecy off a tea leaf lady, and it was about how her life was going to change because someone in a red car was going to come and take her away, and everything was going to be blessed. So for the next 20 to 30 years, every time a red car came into her life, she thought that was it. You know, every time the excitement would build, they've got a red car, they're looking for doorways that are just totally delusional. And that's the way false prophecy can lead a person, you know, and it's very, very dangerous. That's the trouble with prophecy, and the church is so full of it. It's so sick with this prophecy. In Deuteronomy 18, it says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." You know, even if they presume to speak a word, like they thought it was a leading from God, and that's where the church is falling. People are blurting out this, blurting out that. It's coming out of their soul. It's coming out of their knowledge about these people that they've been around, and they just want to encourage them, but they're using it for selfish motives. They're using it to puff themselves up. You know, they got to learn to keep their mouth shut until it bubbles out of them like living water. To those who believe, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Better keep your mouth shut and then until you can't hold it in anymore, and then speak it out. That's how the best way to bring out a prophecy or a word of knowledge, because you could be totally ruining that person's life if you're giving a false prophecy, or you could, you know, be ruining your own life. God's not happy with the false prophets. We'll continue in this Deuteronomy 18:21. "And if you shall say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." How many prophecies do you hear in church and none of them ever come to pass, you know? But there's another side of it. How many prophecies are right, but the people don't act to fulfill them. They just sit there twiddling their thumbs thinking God's going to pick them up and sit them down directly on the path that they're meant to go without any effort whatsoever. That's how people are thinking in the church too. It's like there's got to be an effort. If you got a good prophecy, you know, and you got to put in a bit of an effort to follow that, because it's guidance, it's direction, it's instruction. It's not just dished up on a silver platter like a bunch of lollies so we can, you know, gobble them down, and then all of a sudden everything's just come. We're just, you know what I'm saying. It's just, a lot of it's just comes down to ourselves and what we want to hear. There's a prophecy in 1 Kings 22, verse 5 through, it goes, the whole chapter, 1 Kings, you want to read it. It's about Jehoshaphat went down to Israel, went down to Ahab, was running Israel, and Ahab had 400 men, 400 false prophets, and he gathered them together, and he said, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You know, he went seeking the prophets of the devil, the false prophets, because he wanted them to give him a word that he wanted to hear. And in front of his mate, Jehoshaphat, which, you know, yeah, right, I was trying to con him too. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? So Jehoshaphat had a bit of discernment. He's saying, you got 400 men here, you know, that are saying the same thing, but how about we get someone that knows what they're talking about? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So, you know, he didn't want to hear the truth. You know, Ahab just wanted to play to his motives, his pride and his greed and his lust for power and whatever else he's walking in. He just wanted to play that game, and us Christians, it seems like we want to play that game too. And one of the prophets, it says, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, whoever, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these shall thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. You know, he made horns of iron, he put on a big show, and he's going, yeah, you're going to cramp them, you're going to crush them, go for it. You know, and Ahab would have been, oh, yeah, we're going to flog them, you know, totally false. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up the Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. For a start, the prophets weren't prophesying for the Lord. They're prophesying because they're the ones, I believe, the ones that weren't slain by Elijah. The prophets of Baal were slain by Elijah. These ones were the ones that were sitting around Jezebel's table, just giving them, you know, tickling their ears and giving them what they wanted to hear, just patting on the back. And that's what you see that in the church so much. They just, you know, do it this way, do it that way, you know. They don't care about the truth. They just turn everything into a club and pat each other on the back. And anyway, this is what Micaiah had seen. He said, this is his prophecy. And this is what he's seen. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? See, the whole bit of this, this is before Ahab even asked the prophecy. He said, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? God was sick of Ahab. God wanted to wipe him out, and he was planning to get him to go, feed him false prophecy so he'd follow it to his death. And that's what false prophecy can do. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So, and God's giving the go-ahead to go forth and speak through, one spirit can speak through 400 prophets. 400 false prophets can all operate in the spirit of false prophecy and tell lies. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Ahab trusted man. Ahab wanted, you know, he wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. He didn't care about the truth. And he never knew God and never had discernment. Where Jehoshaphat had a little bit of discernment, you know, and this is a scripture out of Jeremiah 6:13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So the prophet, the priest, they're all dealing falsely. They're tickling each other's ears. They're patting each other on the back. They're saying, peace, peace, everything's right, everything's okay. And that way they heal the people's hurts, saying, yeah, you shouldn't be convicted. You know, God doesn't convict. He blesses. He doesn't tell people to repent of their sin. He just says, go out and get a big car and a big house and just live her up. He loves you. You're off to heaven. You know, where people are looking for truth, looking for something they can swallow, like good meat, but they're getting fed fairy floss. You know, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall, and the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. They're on the list too, the false prophets. If you're going around talking false prophecy, you're on God's list. You're going to fall. God's going to judge you, and judge you heavy, because you're destroying people. You're destroying their walk with God. You know, you're feeding out poison. You don't think you're going to get away with it. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. They don't want to walk in repentance, forgiveness, you know. They don't want to walk in righteousness and holiness. They want to walk in there jumping up and down and singing their songs and prophesying every good thing and living your best life now and all this sort of junk. And it's junk. It's total junk. We got to get serious. We got to start following God, you know, properly, the way He wants us to follow Him in the Word. In Isaiah chapter 30, it says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. So Isaiah's saying here that the people, they're not actually saying, give us lies, tell us smooth things, don't tell us the truth, but that's their motives. They're going to false prophets because they don't want to know God. They want to know a false God. They want to know another Jesus, a different spirit that will, you know, act like Santa Claus and give them everything they want. You know, and that's, Isaiah was looking a bit deeper than at their motives, not just on what's on the top. And in Isaiah 66, God says, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So, if the people that are following this false junk, then there's going to come a time when the false junk can't help them. They're going to be looking for God, and God's just going to turn His back on them. He says that, and you can see it happening. It says there's going to be great falling away, and a lot of that's going to be due to false prophecy, the fairy floss, you know, lolly-filled churches that they're just dishing up just stuff every Sunday. But one good thing is, it seems to me like everybody's starting to get sick of them. Everybody's starting to wake up that there's no food in the church. There's a famine in the land. And people are leaving the church. They're running out because they know God's not in the church anymore. They're not putting up with the junk anymore. So praise God for that, as far as I can see, you know. But then there's others who will never leave. They're stuck. It's like they're glued in the same seat every Sunday. Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. How many people trust in man? How many people run every Sunday and swallow everything that's fed to them, or, you know, go here and there, and they get on the internet and read these false junky prophecies where everything's going to be shiny and the sun's going to be shining and the birds are going to be singing and, you know, all this just junk. It's just junk. You know, the people are doing them. They're seeking celebrity status. They're using prophecy and words of knowledge. You know, they're using it for personal gain, whether for finances or witchcraft control. They're using, you know, manipulation. When I was in the New Age, you know, you could go to tarot card readers, psychics, channelers. They put a hook in you. First thing they do is they give you a good word saying, oh, I see you've got a good future, or God's got a good thing. God really smile on you. You're a special person in the sight of God. And they put that hook in and they've got you. And that's how they operate. You know, it's witchcraft, manipulation and intimidation. That's what witchcraft is. It's mind control. They're full of self-serving motives. And because they're playing to our flesh, our covetousness, our greed, you know, our vainglory, it's the me, I, want. That's what they're feeding, and that's what they're hooking onto. So we got to, you know, we got to be humble. We got to have discernment. We got to read the word and know and let our eyes be open to these deceivers. There's spirits in the churches that are operating in the leadership and in the people that are going to. There's an Absalom spirit that's operating in the church. It talks about it in, like, 2 Samuel chapter 15, about how Absalom wanted everyone to come to him. So he had the answers. He had the directions. He had the influence. He had, you know, vain man running. He had 50 men to run before him, you know, and he's saying, if you come to me, I'll do you justice. I'll lead you down the right track. But all he wanted to do, he wanted to be king of Israel. So he's conning them, he's deceiving them, he's getting them through the witchcraft, manipulation, intimidation, playing in their mind, you know. And he's full of self-promotion. False prophets are so full of self-promotion. They're full of covetousness, self-serving, the wrong motives everywhere you look, vainglory. And, I mean, we fall into it too. And if they're playing to these things that are in us, then the hooks are going to go in so easy if you let them. The devil just wants to deceive. He's got a counterfeit for everything. You know, there's a counterfeit to the true authority and power that God gives, and there's a Simon the Sorcerer spirit in the church. In Acts chapter 8 says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries. And now so many people are using words of knowledge and prophecy in the church, whether it's soulless prophecy, whether it's true prophecy, you know, it all seems to be mingled. But they're using that to display, to make people believe that they operate in the great power of God, when a lot of the time they're operating in the dirty power of Satan. And anyway, that spirit's in the church. And he even offered the disciples money, and, you know, they weren't very happy with him, because, you know, he wanted, without paying a price, he wanted to buy it without the fast and without the prayer. He wanted God to speak and work through him without the reading of the word, you know, without any effort. He just wanted it then and he wanted it now. And that's the trouble, you know. Even those going to Bible school, they come out thinking that they deserve something that they are, because they put a bit of an effort in and they start, you know, getting paid, and it all just turns into a mess. The whole thing's just a mess. You know, it's been the same way. Even Jeremiah, he said, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love David so. And what we do in the end thereof? There's so many divination spirits in the church. You know, that a divination spirit, even a wrong spirit, can speak the truth but still be the wrong spirit, like the woman in Acts chapter 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Always money involved, always, you know, vainglory, self-promotion, you know, always some sort of reward by false divination. They're after something. You've got to have a look at the fruit of the person who's speaking these things out. Are they, you know, and their actions, and what do they want? Do they want, you know, glory from people, or are they just seeking glory from God? You just got to check everyone out and just make up your own mind. Be careful of everyone. Don't even trust anyone. Don't trust me. Why do you trust me? You know, you've got to seek it out in the Word and ask God to show you. Ask God to open your eyes. Acts 16:17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know, which was right. That's what they were doing. That was the truth. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, if anyone undiscerning might have said, yeah, this Sheila knows what's going on, let's get her to follow us and go before us, and she can just tell everybody what we're up to, and, you know, wow, we'll have a big circus. But, you know, that's not how it works. Then there's the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit's running amok, so running amok in the church. She's destroying so many things, you know, and destroying so many men, so many, you know. She's just turning men into Ahabs. She's destroying and trying to crush the true prophets, because that's what she done with Elijah, and that's what the spirit does. She puts false prophecy in, and she's wicked and evil and got no mercy, and destroys the true by using the false, spreading false rumors. In 1 Kings chapter 18, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel's surrounded by false prophets, surrounded by false prophecy. And you can see a Jezebel spirit in action, because everybody's prophesying. Everybody starts to prophesy in this wrong spirit, you know, given soulless prophecies, puffing everyone up. Then they're jumping around, you know, having a happy time, and everybody thinks that they're doing the right thing, but it's an error, it's a deception. And even Elijah, you know, when he come against these prophets, he said, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. They're the ones he come up against, you know, they're the prophets of Jezebel. But he totally crushed them, one against 450, the true against the false. He totally crushed them, you know. Seek out the true. If there's a true prophet around, you know, you've got to respect him, because he's going to be battling. He's going to be fighting all the time. He's not going to be the ones driving around the Mercedes, you know. He's going to be the one in the trenches doing the work, because everyone's against him. That's just how prophecy and true prophecy and prophets are. And here's this is the last few scriptures here. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus hates Jezebel, hates the Jezebel spirit in the church. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So, you know, to commit fornication and anything sacrificed unto idols, they could be idols of self, like covetousness, pride, vainglory, me, 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 gimme, 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 want, want, etc., etc. God wants you rich, God wants you famous, God wants you this and that. It's a deception. It plays to the flesh. And God hates it. He absolutely hates it. And, I mean, look what happened to Saul when he went to the witch of Endor to get a word when he just got sick of waiting. He was dead within 1 or 2 days, and his son. Bang, that was it. You know, God, he gives a lot of grace, but he won't give it forever. There comes a time when you're gonna, you know, grieve the Holy Spirit if you're following after these false prophecies or the false delusions or deceptions or the wrong motives for the wrong reasons in your heart. There's gonna come a time when you're gonna get so far away from God, it's gonna be hard for you to come back because you've walked in that delusion willingly and happily and cheerfully. Philippians chapter 3, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, so many, there's so many, nothing's changed. There's so many. Philippians 4, verse 19. But God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's our needs God supplies, not our wants. You know, our wants can be delusional. A man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, we don't even know our own hearts. That's why we've got to continually search, continually look at ourselves, get in the Word, ask, pray, fast, you know, for knowledge even of our own self. So God gives us our needs. If we're going to, maybe we don't need money. Maybe the worst thing for us to have is money, because it'll destroy us. God's not going to give us money if we don't need it. God's not going to give us, you know, fame, fortune and whatever if it's going to destroy us. He gives us our needs. And it's his will. God's not willing that any man should perish, but all should come to repentance. He shows no partiality. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll give you what he thinks you need or what he knows you need. He doesn't think he knows, and it's you that thinks you need this and need that and whatever. I mean, I do it too. We're all the same. The same with the parable, the tares and the wheat. The tares are still, you know, operating with the wheat. You know, God said, don't pull them out because you'll uproot the wheat with the tares. So you got to be careful. There's false prophets, there's wolves in sheep's clothing, false brethren, you know, there's tares amongst the wheat, there's goats amongst the sheep. You got to be so careful because, you know, the devil's after you and he wants you to fall. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So keep looking at yourself, keep looking at your motives, keep looking at your actions, keep looking at where you're going, and beware of false prophets, beware of false prophecy. But it doesn't mean God doesn't speak to us like that. It just means that there's so many men out there just willing to destroy or working for the devil. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that anyone who's watched this video through, and I just pray you give them discernment. Give them discernment to see the false prophecy, to hear the false prophecy, to know the difference between the false and the true, Father. Let the true flow into their ears and flow into their spirit and strengthen their inner man, God, and let the false just fall off them like water off a duck's back. In Jesus' name, open their eyes to hear, give them understanding, give them the gift of discerning of spirits right now. In Jesus' name, I rebuke all false prophecy, all delusions, all deceptions that are entered into these people right now. Anyone watching, I rebuke you, I break your power, I command you to leave. Any false words of knowledge, any paths that have been laid out that are the broad path and not the narrow path, I cut you off, I break you off in Jesus' name. Any false prophetic words that have caused chains in their mind, any mind control, I break your power, I break mind control, I break that witchcraft manipulation over the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ, where they've received false words and it's directing them down a path that's going to end up in the pit. I break you off now. You loose them right now. You loose them in Jesus' name. Father, I loose wisdom and understanding and knowledge and fear of the Lord, counsel and might, God. I just pray you bless them. Bless them, God. Bless them with the truth. Let them desire the truth. Let them be fed on the truth, Father. Look over them and lead them by your hand. Make them the apple of your eye and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.